From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Friday, January 29th. Coming up, the violence at the U.S. Capitol earlier this month was an attempted coup. That's the conclusion of a think tank at the University of Illinois. We'll hear from its director in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Governor J.P. Pritzker is defending his administration's rollout of the coronavirus vaccine in the face of criticism that it's been slow, confusing, and chaotic. Hannah Meisel has more.
A New York Times analysis tracking states' daily COVID vaccine distribution puts Illinois at 47th in the nation for getting at least one shot into residents' arms. But Pritzker all week has said the Times is using outdated data, and on Thursday said Illinois' vaccine distribution numbers have been increasing this week. The governor has also been touring mass vaccination sites this week staffed by the Illinois National Guard.
We're going in a good trajectory. You know, I'm excited, frankly, about the fact that between the Biden administration's increase in the number of doses and our build-out of all of these facilities to deliver those doses, you're seeing the effect of that in the record number of doses administered yesterday.
Since December, Illinois has received nearly 1.8 million doses of vaccine, but a little over 800,000 of those doses have actually been used so far. I'm Hannah Meisel.
A state task force has released recommendations aiming to address the problems children of jailed parents face. Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton says those children need support and ways to connect to their parents.
Too often we see this vicious cycle in the criminal justice system that tears families apart and often leads to children of incarcerated parents being swept into the system themselves. We must do everything that we can to break this cycle.
Among its recommendations, the task force says state jails should offer visitation options for children to visit with their parents. Some allow video visitation, but 41 of the state's 92 jails do not allow child visitation. State statistics indicate around 200,000 children in Illinois have had a parent in jail or prison. Usually, farmers plant crops they expect to eventually harvest, but they plant something known as cover crops in order to benefit the soil. As Illinois Newsroom's Dana Cronin reports, more states are encouraging farmers to use cover crops.
Last month, Illinois' Department of Agriculture opened up applications for a cover crop program, which provides a crop insurance discount for each acre of cover crop planted. It filled up in less than 24 hours. Chris Reynolds is with American Farmland Trust and helped launch Illinois' program. He says cover crops were originally used to improve water quality by reducing soil erosion.
But we also know that there's benefits, soil health benefits, economic benefits to the farmer, and also climate benefits.
He says a similar program in Iowa has also been popular among farmers and has enough funding to cover 200,000 acres across the state. Reynolds says he's in talks with federal agencies about how to expand the program nationwide. I'm Dana Cronin, Illinois Newsroom.
The University of Illinois Urbana campus reports 19 new COVID-19 cases from tests conducted on Wednesday. There have been more than 250 new cases on campus since students began returning for spring classes last week. The 7-day average positivity rate of 0.23% is the lowest since before Christmas. The Illinois Department of Public Health reported more than 4,000 new cases of COVID-19 yesterday. State officials also reported 103 additional deaths from the virus. The state's 7-day case positivity rate is now 4.3%. That's down from 5.4% this time last week. Still to come, a conversation with Scott Althaus, the executive director of the Klein Center at the University of Illinois. We discussed the violence at the U.S. Capitol earlier this month. That's next on 217 Today.
Healthcare has never been more important as the coronavirus pandemic continues to touch every aspect of our lives. I'm Christine Herman, health reporter for Illinois Newsroom, working to make sense of what's going on with rich storytelling and helpful analysis for listeners across the state. Hear what I uncover next on AM 580 and FM 90.9, or look for my stories online at illinoisnewsroom.org.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. The violence at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th was an attempted coup d'etat. That's the conclusion of the Klein Center for Advanced Social Research at the University of Illinois. The Klein Center has been curating data on coups and attempted coups since 2013. I spoke with the Klein Center's executive director, Scott Althaus, about why they classified the violence at the U.S. Capitol as such.
So our definition of a coup d'etat has five elements. There must be some person or persons who initiated the coup. The target of the coup must have meaningful control over national policy. There must be a credible threat to the leader's hold on power. Irregular or illegal means must be used to seize or remove or render powerless the target of the coup, and it must be an organized effort. And on the day after the January 6th assault on the US Capitol building, it was clear at that time that the first three of those criteria had been met by the event already. What was uncertain was whether the fourth, what was the ultimate goal of the people that stormed the Capitol? And the fifth, was it planned or was it spontaneous? Those were uncertain. And in the weeks that followed January 6th, we had a team of researchers that had been working to look through available public information, that's news reporting, that's court filings, that's statements and video that have been posted by people who were participating in that event, to try to draw a conclusion one way or another of whether that event fit all five of our elements or not. And if it didn't, it would not be a coup attempt.
From a research perspective, then, you know, why does it matter that we're precise on how we label an event like this?
The Klein Center for Advanced Social Research is very careful in its efforts to categorize a wide range of protest, political violence, and state repression events all around the world. And we take that care because the data that we make and we distribute for free for anybody who wants to use it is very important data for helping risk managers do predictive analytics for understanding risks of political instability of one sort or another. So our coup d'etat data is used by researchers both in the public sector and the private sector to do predictive analytics of which countries are at potential risk for having a major coup event. So the categorization of the type of event matters because the outcome of what follows from certain kinds of event matter a great deal. And coups d'etat are among the most politically consequential and important of the kinds of events that the Klein Center tracks around the world.
And Scott, I'm curious, what's the difference between what we saw at the Capitol earlier this month and some of the violence that we saw last year at times that came out of some of the protests in places like Seattle and Portland? The autonomous zone in Seattle comes to mind. How is it what we saw at the Capitol earlier this month different?
So the events that we have seen in the news that happened in Portland and Seattle are very complex, but some elements of those are what we categorize as politically motivated attacks. What's different with coups d'etat and attempts and conspiracies to commit coups is that these involve the national government, and these involve an effort to overthrow legitimate authority over the entire nation. So these are very extreme kinds of political events. They're unusual. And that makes them very different from the kinds of protests, the kinds of violence that we've seen around the country recently. It's interesting, though, that for our coup d'etat data set, this is not the first entry that appears for the United States. This is the second entry. And many people don't know it, but back in 1948, a number of members of the Communist Party of the United States were arrested and charged in federal court with plotting to violently overthrow the federal government. It was one of the longest trials in US history, ended up with a verdict of guilty against all the defendants. And that appears in our data set as a coup conspiracy from 1948. So this event is the second one that has registered for our coup d'etat data set for the United States. But in general, it's very unusual for a country that's got a politically stable culture and part of the sort of advanced economies of the world to show up within this database.
That's Scott Althaus, Executive Director of the Klein Center for Advanced Social Research at the University of Illinois. After extensive research, the Klein Center has classified the violence at the U.S. Capitol this month as an attempted coup. You can find a link to the Klein Center's research at illinoisnewsroom.org. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see sunny skies again today with a high of 34 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Olivia Butts. Reporting today contributed by Hannah Meisel, Christine Hatfield, and Dana Cronin. Music by the Kilbone Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moldine. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a good weekend.